question back on what you had said when you're putting it in final place.
Yes.
Can you speak again on what is keeping it in place? You said it's moored.
Yes.
But three lines and moored to what?
Moored to the seabed. So think about when you go out and moor a boat, you have a mooring chain, right, that looks like a parabola, and that's anchored. You can have a mooring anchor. It could be a big weight. In our case, we have a mooring anchor that we're going to install. It's called a drag anchor. It's like a little plow, like a big plow, I should say, and you drag it on the seabed, and it embeds itself into the seabed. Very well-known technology for the mooring anchor. Then we have a mooring chain that goes from that mooring anchor up to the hull. And we have three mooring chains. Each mooring chain is attached to one of the flotation columns. So there'll be a mooring chain here, another mooring chain hooked up here, another mooring chain hooked up here. Three mooring chains, they'll keep it in place. Of course.
So all of that is easier than actually having it affixed
exactly.
to the bottom with a cement pillar or whatever it was.
Exactly.
And my second question is, just for scale, the slide that showed us it getting all beaten up in 70-foot waves was not where it's going to be permanently.
Correct.
And that one that we saw in that video is what percentage of size of that?
1-to-8 scale. Oh, wow. 1-to-8 scale. So basically we've shrunk the unit by a factor of 8 and then put it in a site off Castine, which is a more protected site. But because it's a 1-to-8 scale, relative to the size of that hull, it sees large waves relative to its size in a short time. And that's what we saw. During the 1.5-year deployment, we saw 40 storms between a 50-year return period and a 500-year return period. To put that in perspective, I would like to ask a question. How big is a 500-year wave in the Gulf of Maine? 70 feet. Okay. All right. Excellent. That's exactly right.
Yeah, Representative O'Connor, did you?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. With all, I mean, I was just thinking with all the storms and everything, and we get some pretty good weather up
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely.
Did you have any problems with ice on the units, and how was that addressed if you did have problems with the ice?
Yeah, the small unit, the one that we put out off Castine Harbor, was about 4 feet over the water. So basically, on a cold day, when you get water spray, you'll get some ice build up here on these units. But that's small compared to the capacity of the hull. In the big units, they're going to be about 45 feet above the water, so they're going to have less of an issue with ice forming on top of the hull. Plus, the hull is so big compared to the amount of ice that can accumulate on top. It's really an negligible effect, so we're not worried about that.
I wasn't really thinking about the hull itself. I was thinking, I've seen the blades, you know, in other circumstances, lightning, things like that can really have a poor effect on that. I was wondering if there was any ice problems with the blades.
Yeah, we have not seen in the project we did off Castine, we have not had any icing problems on the blade themselves. The only ice we measured was on top of the base of the hull. Certainly, ice is something we're studying and very careful about in this project. If we are concerned about, we're doing ice modeling, if you wish, on the blades. And if we have a concern, we have those technologies to shed ice. You can actually heat the blades, or skins you can put on the blades to heat them to do that. But we don't expect it to be an issue there. But certainly, if it is, we'll deal with it that way. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. The other piece I want to point out is, so what next? So this is a demonstration project, right? This is a demonstration site. It's a test program. The purpose of that is to prove out the technology so then the private capital can come in and we can build commercial farms farther out beyond the horizon. There's no plan to put any commercial farms near Monhegan Island. This is just a two-turbine test site. The goal here is to be able, in the long run, to put floating farms 20 miles off the coast of Maine plus. To give you a sense, if we made a goal of, say, a gigawatt of offshore wind off the coast of Maine by 2030, if we set a goal like that, a gigawatt project is about a nuclear power plant size, right? We said a good nuclear power plant size. That would be about a $4 billion project and has the opportunity to create close to 2,000 jobs. That's an example of the kinds of opportunities that we have ahead of us. But we're not the only ones thinking that way. So the UK, for example, has a goal of 30 gigawatts by 2020 and is estimating 60,000 jobs at that time. And they're well on their way to get there. The US has a plan that was developed for 86 gigawatts by 2050. $350 billion investment, 175,000 jobs. We want to make sure Maine is at the forefront of getting these jobs. That's one reason we're doing this. If, again, we set Maine a modest 1 gigawatt by 2030, if we set a goal like that for ourselves, that's still a very significant impact on the state economy. To put that in perspective, the other piece is if we start looking 20 years down the road, 30 years down the road, there is a major push to use electric vehicles in the future. And there's an opportunity in 20 or 30 years that maybe half of us would be driving electric vehicles. And that's not, of course, nobody knows for sure, but there are some predictions that we might get there. And if these vehicles, and if you look at Japan, for example, very interesting. Right now in Japan, there is more electric vehicle charging stations than there are gasoline charging stations. So there's a lot going on. In Europe, there's a country that actually putting together a bill to ban the use of a gasoline vehicle by the mid-2020s. There's a lot going on around the world in that direction. But to put things in perspective, let us say for a brief minute, in 20 or 30 years, we might have half of our fleet to be electric vehicles. If that's the case, then each vehicle is a battery, and we can store energy in those batteries. And these vehicles can put electricity back on the grid through V2G technology, vehicle to grid. So when we say, where can we store wind, those vehicles can be natural free batteries for us to store the wind and put it back on the grid. So this is examples of technologies that are coming towards the future. We can heat our homes also in the future with electricity by using heat pumps, electrical heat pumps. And if you recall, gasoline and heating oil was the biggest issue with Maine families' energy costs. If we can reduce those costs using this and stabilize them using these kinds of technologies, we can have a major benefit in the future for the state of Maine. So our vision here in the 2020s, 30s, and beyond is if Maine were to construct commercial farms, floating farms beyond the horizon, that would help with home heating, that help with filling up cars of the future and with electricity bills, and sell some of it to the rest of the New England states, that could be potentially a major important component of our economy. We could be selling electrons to the Northeast marketplace. New England alone, the New England ISO grid, as you know, is about a 30-gigawatt grid. From New York to Maine, the area between New York and Maine, including Pennsylvania, is an area no bigger than the state of Texas with 55 million people who currently pay the highest electricity costs in North America. Why can't we sell them electricity? Why can't we create jobs in Maine and manufacture electrons just like we produce potatoes and lobsters and so forth and sell them and create jobs in our state, in addition, of course, to take care of our own needs? That's kind of a vision that we're looking at for the state. And if we did that, if we started building these offshore farms, we can remember the $6 billion that leaves the state of Maine every year we talked about? A lot of that potentially, or important parts of that in the future, could actually stay in Maine. Rather than sending our energy dollars away from Maine, we can keep our energy dollars in Maine, use those to build this infrastructure and maintain it, and the fuel is free.